Good morning. I want to welcome you here to our church this morning for the funeral service of our dear sister, Polly Titcomb. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This blessed promise is what we have come here to remember as we reflect upon the life of our loved one. Polly Titcomb, 74, of Tama, passed away on Tuesday, May the 13th, 2014, at Mercy Hospital in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Pauline Alston was born on April 4th, 1940, in Iowa City, Iowa, the daughter of Ray and June Collins Alston. Polly was raised and educated in the Tama School District, graduating from Tama High School. On June 24, 1961, Polly married the love of her life, Ray Titcomb, in Tama, Iowa. From this union, three children were born, Brenda, Scott, and Cheryl. Polly spent most of her working years as a seamstress. She had a passion for her work and also enjoyed sewing for fun. She was a dedicated member of this church, the Reformed Baptist Church of Tama. Left to cherish her memory is her loving husband of 52 years, Ray Titcomb. Children Brenda, Mary Tay B. Jackson, and Cheryl Titcomb. She is preceded in death by her parents, one son Scott Titcomb, one brother Ray Alston, and one sister Shirley Alston. Now I'd like to read to you from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, a few verses here, and then I'll speak to you on them in just a few minutes. The Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. And after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. But some have fallen asleep," which means that they had died. "And after that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and then last of all He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now my dear wife will come and she will read for us the words of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Well, there's nothing more precious to us who are here today than the fact that Polly Titcomb was a Christian woman. Whatever else might be said about her, whatever else we might appreciate about her, we are thankful for this morning. We are thankful that our merciful God has saved her from all of her sins. He changed her heart in the new birth. And he gave her the gift of eternal life. We are most thankful that she is now safe in the arms of Jesus. When someone whom we love dies, it's a time for real reflection. It's a time to ask ourselves the question, do I know God as Polly did? Or am I unsure? When a person dies, their eternal state is fixed forever. They launch out into eternity to be blessed and live forever with God in Christ, or they have perished and will have to endure the eternal wrath of God forever with God in Christ before His presence. With Polly's having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, however, we have real assurance that she's now in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The real difference between a Christian and one who is not a Christian is that a Christian is a person who has received the good news of the gospel, and therefore they've been saved from their sins. And because of that, they are in a safe and blessed place for all of eternity. The person who has Christ has eternal life. But how do you come to know Jesus Christ personally for yourself so that you come to know that you have eternal and everlasting life? Well, these verses that I just read to you tell us. They tell us, first of all, how we can be saved. The Apostle Paul wrote here, he says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I have also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, and by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. You see, when you believe in the gospel, you are believing in established facts of history. That is, that Christ really did die as the Son of God, that He really was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. And Paul is telling us here that we are saved from our sins by believing in what Christ did for us on the cross, that He suffered in the place of sinners, such as you and me. And God has accepted Christ's sufferings in the place of punishing you for your sins if you believe in Him. A Christian stands strong spiritually when they believe this truth. And a person who has never believed can trust in this gospel and be saved. They can have full assurance of their salvation if they believe in Christ's finished work of a full obedience to God's law and His sufferings on your behalf. This you must believe in order to be saved. You are not saved by the best of your works. You are not saved by good feelings about yourself. You are saved by Christ and what He has done for every sinner who trusts in Him. And one of the real reasons that so few are saved today is because so few really believe that their sin deserves to be punished. But looking at what Jesus did upon the cross proves that God is a holy God and that He must punish sin. Otherwise, why would Christ, His own dear Son, have had to suffer the way He did, such agonies, both before His death and then upon the cross? He was the only man who's ever lived who never sinned. There was not a particle of sin in Jesus, not in His words or His actions. He was always faithful to God and to His word to keep all of God's commandments perfectly. Now here in verse 2, it tells us that the only thing that we have to do to have assurance that we are God's child is that we must receive this gospel by faith. Faith in what Christ has done. Faith in His atonement. And faith in all the promises that we find there in the Word of God. We just continue in that. Salvation is as simple as that, dear friends. And yet so many miss it, thinking that it's something very complicated and difficult, when God has made it very simple. The difficult part is that our hearts don't want Christ by nature. That our hearts have to be changed by grace, so that we will want Him. Salvation is not based upon our own works, even the best of them, but it's based upon our continuing to see our need of Christ and grace all the way through our life. He will help us. He will save us if we believe. He will keep our soul. After you first believe in Christ, over time God will mold you and shape you into the image of Christ as you exercise your faith in Him. And then it says in verse 4 that He was buried and then He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Let us understand that when Christ died, everyone who believed in Him died with Him. When Christ was buried in the tomb, our sins were buried with Him. And when Christ rose from the dead, we who believe rose with Him. And we are spiritually made alive by the Holy Spirit, and our spirit will never die, even when we physically die. Polly now knows the reality of this blessed truth. And even though she died physically, she never died spiritually. And then secondly, I'd have you to notice that these verses tell us of a sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection for every believer in Christ. For if Christ is not risen, it says here, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, that is those who have died in Christ, have perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who sleep. In other words, He is the first fruits of a great harvest, which is coming on the last day. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, authority, and power, for he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Polly has gone through this now. Polly is with her Savior. Polly is rejoicing in the presence of the eternal God, the merciful God, the loving God who saved her. You see, when we die, our soul departs our body. The body is spoken of here as being asleep. The soul never sleeps, but the body is buried in the ground, and it awaits the day of the resurrection. And everyone who believes in Christ is believing that since Christ has been raised from the dead, that God has accepted His sacrificial work and His perfect obedience to God's law on our behalf. You see, when you believe in Jesus, that's what you're believing in. You're not believing in yourself. You're not hoping that you might make it to heaven or that you might be good enough. You're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ because you know yourself to be a sinful person. You see, when Christ was raised from the dead, He ascended on high to sit at the right hand of the Father. And when He comes back again, the second time, we who believe shall all receive our bodies back again, this time glorified and without sin. Those who do not believe shall also be raised from the dead, but to a resurrection, it says in the Bible, of eternal shame and everlasting contempt, it says in Daniel 12:2. Those who are wicked and unbelieving will also receive their bodies back again, but not glorified. Rather, they will come forth from the tomb still in their sins and in anguish forever that they did not pray to God and ask for the free gift, the full and free salvation which is in Christ, which would have been given to them had they asked in sincerity and really wanted to change and turn away from their sin. We need to understand now this morning that sin is the awful thing that God hates. That's why we're here this morning. One of the reasons is because it was sin that brought Adam's sin that brought death into the world, and therefore all men die because of Adam's sin. But years ago, Polly fled from the wrath of God, and she dealt with her sins through faith in Jesus Christ. Sin is that which ruins our life forever if we do not deal with it through faith in Christ. But Polly is set free. Polly was set free back there when she was converted in 1970. And even then, she was set free from the bondage of sin. But now, how her soul triumphs in the glory. The triumph of Christ shall be seen in the good resurrection of everyone who believes and learns to do good. Our Lord says in John 5:28, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice, and they will come forward. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." But all who are Christians understand here today, anew and afresh, that even though we shall lose this body for a time, yet we shall receive it back again. Far more beautiful, far more powerful, far more glorious and lovely, for we shall be changed to be like Christ. Christ is the first fruits of a great harvest of people who will most certainly and surely be saved on the day when He appears. But let it be known to all of those here today who have never believed before this, that if you believe today, you can be saved from your sins even now, if you have never been saved before. It does not matter how bad you have been in your sins. God's grace in Christ can wash away all of your sins, no matter how vile you have been in them. And Jesus Christ can give you a new heart and a new life, even as He did to Polly and with Polly so many years ago. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, whoever will pray and ask, will receive this gift and be saved. How I pray that you will remember what Polly believed and what she stood for. She believed in her Savior and she followed her Lord. She was not a perfect person, but she was saved and she was being saved all the way up until the day that she died and passed into the glory to be with Christ. God most surely and wonderfully changed her life by His grace. And over the many years since she was converted, He prepared her to come to be with Him where she is now, beholding His glory forever. This can be your portion as well, if you will only come to Christ, if you only see your need of Him. Take Christ and make Him yours, yours forevermore. This salvation only comes by faith. But you have to ask. You have to call upon Him. You have to make Him yours. Ask Him to come into your heart and change you so that you will love God and everything that is good. Let me close now by addressing those of you who know the Lord here in this place here today. Will you not see how quickly our lives are passing by? Now is the time to live for God. And now is the time to put away and to put to death the sins of the flesh and the love of the world. Each of us must prepare to meet our blessed Maker and our blessed Lord. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city." Let us remember how quickly this life may end and eternity begin. Let us remember where Polly now is, and let us rejoice. And let us have faith in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, let's pray together. Father in heaven, our glorious God, we thank you that we can gather here on this Thursday morning, that we can make mention not only of your name, but of your power and your glory, your great salvation, which we find in Jesus Christ. Oh, may each one here today take this to heart, that Polly was looking to you, even in her dying hours. And so we have this great assurance that she is with you because you are faithful and you are true. We thank you that we can be here today and remember her in this good way. We pray and extol and magnify your name, our great Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now my dear wife will come up and read for us the words of another hymn, "How Great Thou Art."
God's greatness in nature and in His workings in man's soul. So consider the greatness of God as you listen to the words of how great Thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, who from that spirit sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Amen. Well, let's bow together once more for prayer, and then I'll have the director come up and give you instructions. Our faithful, covenant-keeping God, we praise you, the maker of all things, that you have given us Polly Titcomb as a sister and a friend in Christ for these many years. May the testimony of her life continue to bear fruit to your glory. As we think of her life, we pray that the good example of her faith, hope, and love will motivate us to live better lives. May your precious grace work in every heart at this time, so that we will not sorrow as those who have no hope, but as those who realize that your word is true, and every promise that you made to give eternal life to those who believe in Jesus will be fulfilled. We pray this in the name of our strong Redeemer, who alone can bring eternal and everlasting life and bring us to the place of eternal glory. Amen. Reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 50-57, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've now come to the place where we must commit Polly's remains to the earth. And we remember it says in the Bible that it's appointed unto men once to die, and then comes judgment. But because Polly believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, death has not gotten the victory here today. And for Polly, there is no condemnation. Polly has only gone up higher, and in her death, her soul was made perfect by our faithful God. She is there with her Lord and with the spirits of all just people who have been made perfect. For her, all is now perfect bliss and perfect peace. There is every reason to rejoice that through Jesus Christ our Lord, she has gained the victory. Oh yes, there was pain in the loss of her body, but now that pain has given way to eternal joy and peace. And all this because God had mercy upon her. She placed all of her faith in Christ. And so let us remember that the reason that we must place all of our faith in Christ is because He is perfect and we are not. Sinners need a Savior, and Jesus is a very suitable
Savior and a very loving Lord. Truly, Polly rests in peace today, and truly, your mind and your heart can find spiritual rest in Christ today as well. Because we know that God does all things well. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we now commit the body of our dear sister, Polly, to the ground where it will suffer corruption, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But we know that Christ our Lord suffered no corruption because He was raised from the dead on the third day. And so we firmly believe that since He was raised from the dead, we know that Polly shall one day experience a glorious resurrection. Oh, may each of us be ready, dear Lord, for our own death at any time, by entrusting our souls for salvation and safekeeping to You. And then we too will be able to rejoice together with Polly and all of Your saints on that most glorious day for all believers when You return. Let none of us here fail to give our lives to You, O Christ. We look to You to give us the grace, which will teach us to number our days, that we might present to You a heart of wisdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes our services today. Please feel free to stay out here as long as you guys would like to, and then just remind everyone to come back to the church for some fellowship and a dinner. Thank you.
Do you want to hand out any of those? I don't know if you do.
Would anyone like some, a few flowers? Or?